Hello, and welcome back to the Building HVAC Science Podcast, where it's our mission to create better, more knowledgeable HVAC and building performance technicians, especially by helping the two professions better understand each other with the ultimate goal, making customers happy in the homes they live in and the buildings they work in. In this interview, Eric and I speak with Jason Julian, owner of Julian Heating and Air in Arkansas. We discuss his remarkable journey in the evolution of his business, and his story is about one of resilience and transformation, beginning with his entry into HVAC as a recovering drug addict and felon in need of employment. His sincere eagerness to learn and improve not only his skills, but also improve the comfort and satisfaction of his customers propelled him from a temporary helper to a business owner dedicated to quality service and employee empowerment. Some really interesting stories he tells in this interview. Jason's company culture emphasizes continuous learning, quality workmanship, and a proactive approach to solving problems. He invests in high-quality tools and training for his team, aiming to be the supportive and encouraging boss he wished he had when he started. Jason's commitment to his employees and customers alike has fostered a positive, solution-oriented work environment where the focus is on delivering excellent customer service through skilled and knowledgeable HVAC solutions. Now, despite the challenges of starting a business with limited resources and navigating financial obstacles, Jason has successfully grown his company by maintaining high standards for work and customer care. He attributes much of his success to the support and collaboration within his team, emphasizing the importance of seeing the potential in people and empowering them to contribute to solutions. This collective effort and shared vision for excellence have allowed Jason and Julian Heating and Air to thrive, thus demonstrating the power of resilience, leadership, and a customer-first approach in the HVAC industry. So let's get into this episode where Eric and I speak with Jason Julian on the topic of From Recovery to Revolution, the Jason Julian HVAC Journey.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Building HVAC Science Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric Kaiser, and with me virtually there is Bill Spohn. And today, our special guest is Mr. Jason Julian of Julian Heating and Air down in Arkansas. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Thanks. Thanks for coming on board.
Thanks for having me.
I actually got to meet Jason in person for the first time this year, and I don't know if Bill had met him in person before, but at the HVACR Symposium in Claremont, Florida. And I've talked to Jason a lot online and interacted with him a lot online through various Facebook groups and whatnot. And I've watched him grow his business. And then we got to talking, I don't know what, a few days back after the symposium, he joined us on a live stream that I was participating on. And he started talking about his company. And Jason, I really want to learn more about your company, what you've done to grow it, because it sounded to me like you've grown this in a really short period of time, and you have an amazing atmosphere around that company with your employees and how you care about them and everything else. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've done here.
Plus, you got some really cool shirts.
Well, yeah.
Well, thanks.
But let's go back to how Jason got involved in HVAC, then hop over to what you've done to build your company.
I've really been in HVAC a short amount of time. I got into this by chance, basically. I don't mind sharing with anybody, I'm a recovering drug addict alcoholic. So a few years back, a little over 10 years ago, I'd gotten out of jail and I needed a job. And there was a guy in my town who was dating a girl that was in my recovery group. And they needed somebody to fill in that day for a helper, and they gave me a call. So take me back. Actually, it was 11 years ago that I got out of jail, didn't have a car, didn't have a job, didn't even have a cell phone. I was in a bad area. This guy needed a helper, and I showed up, and I was holding a drop light and finding some tools and things for him. That's how I got into this. What I found is I really enjoyed watching him get people's homes comfortable. I had no background in anything with HVAC. I knew that you turn the thermostat on or off to get it. If it doesn't work, call somebody. That's as far as I knew about HVAC 11 years ago. He called me to keep coming back in and helping him, and I really enjoyed it. So I started wanting to know more. I would ask him questions. I would pick up his old refrigeration books and start reading them. And I had no idea what I was reading. The terminology in there was foreign to me. I had this sense of a desire to want to do better. I wanted to do better for my boss. He gave me the job. He asked me to do a few things. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing a good job for him. So I started studying it. Like I was telling Eric before this, this is not just a plug for True Tech Tools or any one person, but I started Googling and getting on YouTube to find out if there were other technicians showing things that I wasn't learning. And I found Stephen Reardon. He had tons of videos. So I just would start typing in a few words and then boom, 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 all these videos would pop up. And I started seeing that there were others. Zach Ciotta, Ralph Wolf had some videos out, and Gray Furnace Man. I was like, man, there's so much knowledge, and these people are actually videoing themselves doing work. I got addicted basically to getting off work and coming home and watching videos. One of the things that was really neat is guys like Steven would share what tools they were using. And man, I was like, oh, this is incredible. What is that tool? Where did you get it? And he's cruising around in his little van, and on the back, he has stickers that says True Tech Tools and House Call Pro and all these different things. And I was just like blown away. I didn't know that there were so many tools available to measure and check the things that he was doing. And I was like, man, I want that. So I immediately Googled True Tech Tools. I'm like, well, I've got to find out what this thing is about. And I started seeing all this stuff. And like I said, even the terminology in the books, when there was all these different tools, I had no idea what they would do. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's a video, how to do this. I was all in at that point. I wanted to make sure that when I'm pulling a vacuum, I'm doing it the right way. My boss didn't show me that. His idea of a good vacuum was two smokes and a Coke. And we would get things done and we would pressure test it, 200 pounds of pressure, 250 pounds of pressure. And we'd put the vacuum pump on and we'd go to lunch. We'd come back and he'd say, it's good enough. And I was like, there's got to be something more. What are we checking? Oh, we're just removing non-condensables. Okay, what does that mean? How do we know if we've removed them all? Boom. Steven's got a video that talks about pulling a proper vacuum. Ralph Wolf would talk about it and he would show what he found. And I'm like, man, I want to do what those guys are doing. And so I got laughed at from my employer, especially when I started to implement some of the things I was learning, like brazing with nitrogen, flowing nitrogen while we braze. He's like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to waste my nitrogen? And then I would say, I saw this video and they showed what it looks like on the inside of the pipe. It looks the same as the outside, but all that stuff stays in. Isn't that going to mess up the system? We've been doing it this way for years. It'll be fine. And I just wasn't satisfied with that. So I started digging in. I remember my first purchase from True Tech Tools was I got a vacuum pump, I got a micron gauge, and I got the core remover tools. And let me tell you, that was a trip. I blew the charge of my first heat pump using a core remover tool because I didn't do it right. And that even gave my employer more room to make fun of me for all these things I was trying to do, but I wasn't really bothered by it. I just said, I'm going to figure this out.
How did you deal with getting laughed at by your boss? What went through your mind, through your heart, and your actions when you were getting laughed at?
I chose to take what he was doing not personal. Okay, so back to what I told you guys where I got into this, I was in recovery. I was clean and sober, so I learned a lot of skills on how to communicate by being in recovery groups and understanding what's in my control and what's not in my control. I can't control other people's thoughts, actions, or even what they do or say. And I tried my very best not to take it personal. Did it hurt? Yeah, it did. I have to be honest. Recovery taught me to be honest about those things. It hurt my feelings, but not in a way of, let me feel sorry for myself. It hurt my feelings like I can't prove to this person why this is a better option yet. But I'm gonna stick in. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna work after hours and I'm gonna figure it out so I can show this person why I wanna do this, why it would be better for our customers. And I have to back up too to let you know, I grew up in a family business that was focused on high quality instead of quantity. My family has a cabinet making business and a custom trophy room company. And so my dad taught us from an early age to do it right or don't do it at all. Now, as a kid growing up in a family business, I wanted nothing to do with it. I wanted to go play with my friends and skateboard, play guitar, and hang out. But he made us work. And we were focused on high quality custom. That's another area that gave me the drive to do better HVAC, is I was used to being required to do quality work. And when I got into working with a guy that had less than ideal expectations on what it should look like, I wanted to not just change him or his company. I just wanted to do it to feel the satisfaction of doing a good job. And that was instilled in me at a young age. Like I said, against my will, I did not want to do the quality of work that we were doing because it required doing more than average. And what I found is because of growing up in that environment, when I got into doing this, I gave it my all. I wanted to do it better. The benders, when I started working with the company I worked for, we cut and we used fittings for everything. There would be sometimes on one job, I would use 6 fittings to hook up a line to the condenser. Every single fitting is another leak. Man, when I saw that you could have these benders that would bend the copper, and I only had to make 4 braze connections because I bent the entire piece right into there, I was thrilled. Did it take some time to learn? Absolutely. Did I screw it up? Of course I did. But he finally, after me continuing to do what I was doing, the improvements, adopted a lot of these ideas. That's one thing that I really appreciate about my journey, is I didn't give up. When I saw I could do better, I kept on and kept on and kept on, not trying to throw it in his face, but more of, I'm going to do better. And then when he saw that I could get a job done better, we had less leaks, we did an ultimately better looking job, he bought into it. But it took a few years. It took a few years of the making fun of and the jokes about all the fancy tools that I was getting and wasting my money on.
So you had some real skills of resilience and interpretation, communication, and probably it's been a bumpy road, but every time you've come up from that, come up from the bump.
Absolutely. Like I said, with my experience in recovery and coming back, I was pretty far gone. I was at a situation where most people didn't expect me to come back from. And because I survived and made it through with the help of others in recovery, I learned that I could only do so much myself. I needed to have outside help. And so when I saw that it was available through YouTube and through videos on websites, I was like, okay, I can reach out to these people. Not everybody got back with me. Not everybody really wanted to waste their time with some kids sending them a message. But I just kept on. I knew it could be done. If they're doing it, we can do it. I just have to learn how.
When did you start? Is it Julian Heating and Air? Is that the name of your company?
Yeah, Julian Heat and Air.
Heat and Air. Okay. When did you get the idea to start that? And how did that come together? And a quick recap of the first year.
Before I get into that, my old employer had told me that if I worked with him for 5 years, he was going to retire. He'd been in the field for 35 years. And he says when he gets 40 years in the industry, he wants to retire. So he said, work with me 5 years and I'll train you and teach you how to do this. And then you can take over my company. And so that gave me another little bit of an impetus to learn more. So I did that and it didn't really work out. I worked with him for 5 years and I was implementing a lot of these changes and we were growing that company, which was not very smart on my part because I was growing the company and helping it become bigger so that when he exited, I would have had to pay more to buy his company from him. I didn't really realize that, but I was all in. That didn't happen. So he kept dangling that carrot in front of me and says, ma'am, not yet. We're not there yet. Give me a little bit more. So 5.5 years, then 6 years of working for him, then 6.5 years of working for him. And finally, I just said, hey, this isn't really going to work. You told me you were going to exit. The things I'm doing or have changed what you had taught me and the trajectory of this. If you're going to be exiting, I want to continue to take care of my customers better. And he didn't fit that line. He was like, I can't really retire. I'm finally making money. After having you for a few years and doing all this, he's like, this is too good. And I said, well, it's not really going to work for me. And so It was August 12th, 2019. I'm 6.5 years into the trade, and I went and turned my keys in. And I just knew that I could do this in a different way. It scared me because I had a truck payment and a house payment and no job now. Fortunately for me, there was a lot of people, because I was supposed to take over his company, a lot of our customers and a lot of people that I was advertising to through Facebook knew my phone number. So they were already calling me. They were dealing with me. He was the back end. Nobody even saw him or knew he was really a part of it. I was the face of the company and people knew to call me and I would set it up. We'd get the work done. So there were lots of people calling, but this was August in Arkansas. This is the end of our summer. So I was not very smart in choosing that as the time for me to break away, because now we're going into a winter, which is generally really slow for HVAC in this part of the country. But I did. The first week I went out and I ended up securing several jobs, several replacements, 3 package units and 2 heat pump and air handler systems the first week I was on my own. So that gave me a little bit of startup. I literally had nothing in savings. I started up, I did those jobs, and I went and traded in my truck that had a car payment for a used service van with no shelving, no bulkhead, nothing in it, big white van. And that's how I started. I went into business at the end of the season, end of the money-making season for HVAC in Arkansas, and was fortunate enough to start out with some jobs. And the people in my town, especially the other companies. So let me give you a little information on our town. Our town has about 8,000 people in it, and there are 25 HVAC companies in this town. Now, we service all around a lake area that has quite a bit more in the population, but they're all little bitty towns all around a big freshwater lake. I mean, I'm diving in deep, but people had been seeing. So I guess one of the things is I had gotten into Facebook and I started advertising the before and after pictures of our installs and what we were doing. So people in this area knew who I was. They already assumed I owned that company, the previous one. So I'd already had a little bit of a reputation as showing off quality work and what we could do to help fix their home. And little did I know, I wasn't really fixing a lot of homes like I thought in my mind, because I wasn't testing everything. And so that's where watching the videos and getting closer with people that were doing better HVAC, I was attracted to that because I really wanted to give my customers what they paid for.
You mentioned better HVAC.
Yes.
Tell us what you think about that term.
Man, I am very excited to be involved in a group that is doing things better for not only the industry and for their companies, but for customers. This is a customer service business. I tell my crew every month when we have our meeting, we are not in the HVAC business. We're in the customer service business. We just happen to do heating and air as well. We are there to take care of the customers. Without customers, we have no job. If we have no job, we can't live. Man, I've been looking into that. I've got a better HVAC sticker that I got at the symposium, and I got an email from somebody, and I signed a pledge to do better HVAC.
Good. It resonates with a lot of people. We won't get too deep into it this podcast, but it's something that I'm helping move forward with the help of Kevin Hart, Ben Reed, and a group of other people. So I just like when I hear it mentioned in context and in the right spirit. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no problem. So one thing I did just for my company, my business, I started off as if I was one of the big companies. So being a one man in a truck with no helpers and no real money for anything, advertising a space. I mean, I was working out of my home. It was my office. I started charging for the work I knew that I was going to produce for those customers. So when I would go in and give a bid to somebody or a proposal, it was right in line with the big companies in town that had been doing it for a long time. And I knew if I was going to make this work, I would have to charge enough to make it profitable so that I could have an employee, so that I could get a space. And so I learned that from people online. I was in different HVAC groups that are not even a part of what we're doing with HVAC school and the symposium and all that. And I was seeing what they were doing. And the most thing that resonated was charge for your work, charge enough to make a profit. And so I didn't know how to do that, but I knew what we had been selling replacements for and new systems and ductwork and everything for. And so I can carry that price into my company. And I was just a one-man show. And I'm like, I'm going to get it done. Even if it kills me, I'm going to get it done because I know that I can do this.
Very nice. So that took you into really growing your company. It took you, you had a growth mindset going in. When you started digging in and saying, hey, now I've got to have a helper. I've got to be able to pay a helper. What was your mindset going forward with that?
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to actually become the boss I never had. That is one of those things that when the day I started my business, when I hire somebody, I'm going to treat them with respect. I'm going to give them as much as I possibly can and encourage them to continue to learn more. So I started off with just a few guys that I would be as a 1099 helper. I paid them a set amount per install, and it was higher than they were making anywhere else. I knew what I made on the job, and so I had part of it for help, whatever that was going to be, whoever that was going to be. So this is 2019. So for the first several months, that's all that I did. And then and then in January of 2020, I decided I wanted to set up a real business. So I formed an LLC and I got with a tax guy so that I could have W-2 employees instead of just 1099. I wanted to do it right. I did not want to have anything that was going to keep me from continuing to do this. So I was like, I've got to be careful how I pay, how I do this stuff. I want to do it all legal and all right. I will say, jumping back, in Arkansas, you can work under a licensed contractor for 2 years and then apply to take your license. So in the first 3 years of being in HVAC, I'd already had my HVAC contractor's license. So I was legal to do this on my own, even when I worked for the other company. I really wanted to make sure I took care of the employees. So that's when, like I said, I formed the LLC, got things set up that way. And I knew that if I was going to be charging this, the price that all these other ones were, I needed some talent. So my mindset was I'm going to pay them better than they're making at their other job, and they will hopefully help me build this company up. I didn't go out and solicit other people, but they had been seeing my posts on Facebook, and several people came to me as soon as I had started the business and asking for work that had worked at other companies. They're like, hey, I see what you're doing. The company I left was getting a lot of work in this area based on being interactive with the community. So people knew me. So it wasn't like I was starting and nobody in the town knew me. They knew my family. They knew the quality of work that was coming out of the previous HVAC company I worked for. So they knew they were going to get the same thing when they hired us. I don't know if that answered your question, but I wanted to pay them well. And so I made sure that I bid the job in a way that I could pay them well and require them to do this good work.
This involves a lot of coordination. It involves first like a spirit that you have to continue this going forward, but a lot of coordination in terms of the business, advertising, employee support, customer support, training. How do you keep this all going?
Wow. When I got into recovery and got away from that, I got myself in a routine of relying on a higher power. I'm not going to get into a lot of stuff with that, but I realized I couldn't do this on my own when it came to my drug addiction and alcoholism. Same thing in life. I need people. I need others. And it's okay. It's okay for me to not know the answer. So I was very open-minded with employees. I would ask for their input. The few people that joined my team early on were not used to that. Some of the things, and I'll tell you a quick one on processes. So this gentleman that worked for another company for 12 years in my own town came to me and asked me for a job. And I said, sure. I said, how do you feel about having a guy that's quite a bit younger than you and very limited amount of time in HVAC being the lead on this? And he says, I've seen what you can do. I want to join your team. And so one of the things is I had to train him and teach him how to braze with nitrogen. That blew his mind. He couldn't understand it. He didn't like it. When I wasn't there, some of the helpers on the job, he would say, well, this is what Jason wants to do, but this is what we're going to do. And he would do it without brazing with nitrogen. And we had many discussions over it. It took about a year of working with me for him to understand. He's like, the last company, we changed out TXVs all the time. I haven't changed one at all since I've been here. And he finally got in. I'm not a typical boss. Like, I don't want people to say yes, sir, to me and do all this. I want to work together with somebody. So when they join our team, they understand, or they're told immediately, I'm just a member of the team. I may be in this role and in this position, but if I don't do my job, you can't do yours. And if you don't do yours, we can't do this together. So I've had a very togetherness, we need each other mindset from day one.
Have you heard of the concept of servant leader?
I have. I've heard that recently. I've seen that in different comments from people in some of the groups I'm in.
I would say you exemplify those characteristics.
Thanks. I don't know how true or not true that is, but I can say that. I want to serve the customers and I want to serve the team. We have to work together for it to work out. And we've gone through some crazy stuff. I mean, my business has not suffered any consequences from bad moves on my part as far as financial things, things that I invested in that did not work out that put a strain on the company. But because of being resilient and feeding that into my teammates, we're going to overcome it. This is what happened. Okay, boom, that's not going to define us. What are we going to each be able to give to get out of this and make this happen? And I was really honest and open from the very beginning and continue to this day. I let them know about financial stuff. I let them see what stuff costs. I let customers see what it costs. I have no problem showing a customer my supplier price book for what their equipment costs. Most people can buy stuff online. I don't lead with that, but if they really want to know, I'm like, this is what I do. I take the cost of all these things and I have a divisor that has everything built in. Your equipment is 40% probably. The equipment and all the supplies are about 40% of what this job is. So I do a 60% gross margin divisor on equipment change out, and I have different methods for pricing ductwork based on openings. I decided early on I wanted to be a flat rate company. So that's one thing that I've done is I developed my own price book based on the equipment or the parts that I was using and how many man hours it takes to get it done. And then I added into it for profit. So I've been a flat rate company from day one. And I got a lot of information from other people and they said, well, it doesn't work everywhere. You got to find out what your true costs are. Well, I had no idea to find out what my true costs are. And I'm a technician turned business owner. I have no business running a business, really. If that makes sense, I'm just now starting my fifth year. I'm a few months into my fifth year, and I'm starting to focus on that part, how to keep this thing alive. I've winged it up until now with a desire and a drive to do good and take care of people. Now it's like, how do I take care of the business so that I can sustain it and keep it going and keep it growing?
You talked a little bit about you've made mistakes without getting very detailed or very specific. We'll call them challenges. What's a major challenge that comes to mind? Again, you don't have to get into too much detail if it's uncomfortable.
Let's see. One of the things I did is I had a slow winter and I borrowed money from I borrowed bad money. I had some bad debt. I borrowed money based on receivables. I guess is what it's called. They basically buy my receivables and they take money out of my pocket every week to pay it back. And while it did help me keep the business going, it put a big strain on it for a few years to come. Because this was 3 years ago, I took out some loans. I had good revenue, which if you're in business, you know revenue does not equal profit. Revenue is what you've sold, but I didn't have the profit. I got ahead of myself because basically the first year in business, I was very profitable because I had very little overhead. I did not have a space. I did not buy equipment. I bought as needed and I made profit in the first year. I actually did $1.2 million in revenue the first year in business. And by the end of the first year in business, I had 7 employees. So it quickly started going the other way because I had all these people to take care of and taxes and general liability and insurance on all the vehicles. Because what I did is the first probably 6 months, I did a lot of jobs, high profit, and I invested it back into the company by buying another service van, buying tools. But I didn't have major overhead costs because I didn't have a space. Then I started renting a space so that I could pull my van in when it's raining and clean it and organize it and get ready for the next job. And then I bought another van. And then I bought a little truck. So in the first year, I bought three vehicles, or I got notes on three vehicles. And I invested a lot of money in tools. I was looking back through my receipts not too long ago on TrueTech Tools, and there were quite a few $5,000 and $6,000 purchases, because one of the things that I did is I used good vacuum pumps and good hoses. So I bought that and put it on each one of my vans. I didn't do what my previous boss did and go to Harbor Freight and stock the worker's van with crap tools. I'm like, if I'm going to have a technician and I'm going to train him, he's going to do it the Julian way. He's going to be using the field piece wireless gauges. So I bought a set of wireless gauges for each van. I bought Hillmore and Navac pumps right away and put them in there. I bought core remover tools, both kinds, the pink one and the black one, and put it in the truck. I bought meters. I was using field piece. And when I'd hire a guy and he had a, I don't even know what brand kind of meter it was that I couldn't verify if it was right or wrong, I'm like, hey, I'm using this one and this is our process. So I'm going to go ahead and purchase this and this is going to be yours now. It stays in this van, but this is yours. Get used to it. Work with it. I really wanted to, like I said on there, it's not just a saying. I wanted to be the boss that I never had. I wanted to provide quality tools, quality training, but I expected quality work at the end of the day. So most people weren't going to invest in themselves and buy that kind of stuff. So I bought it and then trained them how to use it.
Wow. Every step, I'm hearing a theme of intentionality here. Like every step you have is like, I want to accomplish this. Here's how I'm going to get there. This is what I'm going to do to get to that step and to help the people around me get to that step. Because it sounds to me like you've grown a heck of a team.
And I am so grateful because I do. We've gone through some people. I've only had to fire two people in the entire time that I've done it. The ones that have left that are no longer here worked themselves out of it. They didn't fit the company culture. And so I have had issues where I've had people on the team that didn't like certain ones and have to work with them, but I continue to feed into them something good. Look for what this person does that's good. We know they did this bad and we know their attitude or what's going on here is there, but look at what they did do. If you can focus on the good, the bad stuff or the negative stuff comes less to mind. And that is definitely, like you said, intentionality. I can't shy away from this. I have a very strong spiritual connection, and I feel that my creator looks at the good things in me and doesn't recognize the bad so much, helps me work through those. And I try to do that with each employee. I try to see them for what they can be and what they will be if they're given the right opportunity. Somebody gave me that opportunity. My former employer, I am a felon and drug addict. Okay. He gave me a job. He saw through after I showed him how much I could work. I showed him that I can do this. I'm just blessed to even be alive, guys. I went through the craziness of my old lifestyle, the overdoses, the going to jail, all the things that I've been through. I've been given a second chance. So I look at people for what they can be, not necessarily what they've done in the past. All that stuff that happened before I got into HVAC was what I did. It's not who I am. And I try to see everybody that way. It's not always easy, especially when other people don't understand. Most of the people on the team didn't understand why I wanted to pull a proper vacuum, why I wanted to eliminate places. But continuing to push that forward in a positive way has opened up their mind to see, and now they get it. When that light bulb goes off in someone's mind of, man, this is better. This is a better process. Then they can take off because they fought it so long. Quit fighting and start looking for the solution. We have a saying here, don't come to me with your problems. Come to me with your solutions. We know that this is a problem. We know this is. So it's okay to talk about it. Let's be accountable. I did this or I didn't do this. That's the problem. But how can we solve it? how can we move on from that? Because we can sit there and talk about the problem all day long, but if we're not talking about the solution, we're not getting anywhere. And that wastes time, that wastes energy, that deflates our desire to do better. So let's, okay, that's the problem. Cool. This is where we are, that we can't change it. That happened yesterday. Nothing we can do today will take that away. But what will happen is we can take all the information we've gathered of why this didn't work. Now let's put in the positive flow to not let it happen again. How do we do that? Not just do what I say. It's more of, if I did this, this could happen. If I do this, this can happen. What can you give? What can you put forth to make this happen? This is the end goal. This is where we want to be. Show me what you can do to help us get there and empower each other. My team is full of solution providers. That's what we feed in each day. What's the solution? We know the problem. It's right there hitting us in the face. Okay, it's there. Move on. What's the next step?
I'll bet it even extends into solution providers for the business topics too, that you harness the brains. You've given us a tremendous overview. As we wrap up here, I just want to know, when is the book coming out?
I have no idea, but it would make a hell of a story. I know that.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to share what's going on here in little Heber Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah.
I want to take one more thing here, Jason, because you said something to me in a private conversation we were having. Where's your company today? What recently happened in your company that you felt really good about? Because you told me about this, and I think other people should hear that.
Which thing you're talking about? Because there's been a lot of good things that have happened.
It was talking about while you were at the symposium, how smooth everything ran while you were gone.
Okay. So yes, Wednesday morning, I'm on the plane and we're about to take off. Everybody's in their seat. And I got a call from my office manager, who is absolutely amazing. This lady has been through a whole lot and she's continuing to grow. Well, she called me and she says, this person didn't show up. This customer called upset, this customer called upset, and this customer called upset. So I have several upset customers. One team member didn't show up, and we didn't have all the pieces we needed for a job that they were doing that morning. And just as she tells me this, the flight attendant comes over and says, all right, everyone needs to turn your phone on airplane mode. We're going to be taking off. So I literally said, I can't help you. I'll talk to you when I get to Florida, and hung up the phone. I didn't hear back until about 10 o'clock that night, Wednesday night, and she called all excited. This customer's happy. This customer's happy. This customer's happy, and we got it all done. We even got one other job that you had put in the queue for us to do completed. We have tomorrow lined out. We've got this, this, and this figured out, and this customer's excited that we're going to get to them sooner because we finished that other little job that was hanging out over here. You've got nothing to worry about. And man, that was a good message I got. So Thursday morning, I wake up, I pull open my tab that shows what's going on. It shows the schedule. It's all fully booked. Everything's on there. Everything's going good. And I didn't get a call saying we can't handle it. They took care of whatever needed to happen. Same thing happened on Friday. The only messages I'm getting is, ding, you got paid. Ding, you got paid from all these jobs. And I came back from that job and on her office door, it says, think outside the box. I walk inside and there's these sayings posted up all over there. Positive energy, be the solution, find the solution. All these things that I've been trying to pump into these. She had made her office basically a shrine of positivity. And everybody got things done. And I didn't have to deal with any of the problems. So now I came home from the symposium. I've been in the office maybe 6 hours of actual work time. The rest has been me being able to work on the business and plan for the next step in our company. They're handling it. They're handling the day-to-day operations. I never dreamed that would be possible. I always wanted it to be, but I didn't know how it happened. But me stepping back and stepping away and saying, I can't help you, they rose up to the challenge. They're making it happen every day. They're taking our processes and doing it. Now I'm focused on how I can do my job better of taking care of them.
That was an amazing message.
Yeah, music to a lot of people's ears, for sure.
Yeah, to scale a business that much and to that point in such a short amount of time, I think really speaks to what you've done and the attitude that you've instilled in your employees. And I wanted people to be able to hear about that, because to me, that's a really amazing thing when we hear about a lot of these companies out here struggling and I can't find employees and I can't get happy customers and all this stuff.
It's possible. And it doesn't mean we're going to have, this is the other thing I feed into them each day, is just because we have things rocking and rolling for right now, we're going to encounter, not if, when we have a situation that comes up that throws everything off track, pause for a minute, gather the data, gather the facts of the matter, not our emotions, not the feelings we have about the problem, but let's gather the facts and then let's brainstorm together on who can take one part of that and get it to the next part of the equation, the finished product. Who can take this? And by empowering them and allowing them to say, you know what, I can take this chunk of this and do this with it. That way everybody else on the team can forget about that one part of it because this person says they can handle it. And I have faith that they can. And if they run into trouble, they can bounce it off the other people to help get that along. And that has been probably one of the biggest takeaways for my company here recently, is everybody's willing to do their part.
Tremendous.
It's beautiful.
Very cool.
Let's wrap this up and let you get back to work. No one's thrown anything at you in the monitor yet. So apparently things are still running well. You're still glowing off of that. And again, awesome shirts you got there.
Yeah, thank you. What's your size?
I wear large. I guess it sounded like I was begging for one, but I really wasn't.
No, I'll pass them out there. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jason, for coming on.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, too.
We appreciate you listening to this podcast. We got to speak with Jason Julian and give him a chance to tell his story. I also host the Res Talk podcast, where you can learn more about home energy ratings and peripheral topics. That's RESTALK podcast. You can find it in any podcast app. If you have any questions or wish to suggest a topic, reach out to us at marketing@truetechtools.com. The Building HVAC Science Podcast is a production of True Tech Tools Limited. In full disclosure, I'm a co-owner of True Tech. Any opinions voiced are those of my guests, my co-host, or myself, depending on who is talking, of course. And if you're in the market for tools or test instruments mentioned in the podcast, or just a thought comes to mind and you think you need a tool, take a look at what True Tech Tools, my company, has to offer, TRUTECHTOOLS.com. And you can use the secret offer code HVACBS for a nice discount. We want to thank you for listening to and hopefully following the Building HVAC Science podcast. We hope these little podcasts bring you some information, some knowledge, some different insights, do a little bit about changing your day. Thanks again. We look forward to having you back again to listen to Building HVAC Science. You can find us at buildinghvacscience.com, complete list of podcasts if you don't have a browser to look in, or you can look us up on YouTube on the True Tech Tools YouTube channel. We publish all the podcasts there too, if that's your chosen way of listening. Thanks again. Take care.